Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Good afternoon, radio friends. Thank you for tuning in again today. This is sermon number 3. We're looking at Exodus chapter number 20, and we're focusing on verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We're going to be focusing on verse number 3, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And we've been talking about how we've been looking at God's double declaration. The first declaration is about his creation. And then the second declaration is about salvation. We're going to pick up here in just a moment, speaking about God's divine commandment. We're going to look not only at God's divine commandment, but also God's declaration of presentation. We go to a live recording now from the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. And then I want you to see this morning concerning this commandment, God's divine commandment. I believe it's divine because it talks about him. Thou shalt, look at verse 3, thou shalt serve no gods before me. Now, if we was to divide this verse in half, I believe I would divide it between the words gods and before. What I'm trying to say is thou shalt have no other gods. And then look at section, look here. There's a section after that that says before me. Let's look at that first section for just a moment. Notice, first of all, that the word thou. Y'all see that? That's the second person singular. What I'm implying here is that this command is written to not just one individual, but every single individual. Notice what he says there. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. So that makes each and every one of us accountable to one God. Thou, any reader that reads that word, any reader that hears that text, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Can I tell you this morning, the Word of God's speaking to you. The Word of God's talking directly to you. Arthur Pink said, so when God says thou shalt have, he's saying you personally shall not own, possess, seek, desire, love, or worship any other God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but can you possess a God? Sure you can. Can you own a God? Sure you can. I'm talking about a little g God. I'm not talking about the God. I'm talking about not the God of heaven. I'm talking about these little idols, amen. Can you own? Can you possess? Sure you can. And if you're not careful, that little God will take you. As we read, we cannot overlook the fact that God gives complete disapproval in that of atheism. You see what he's saying? God has said, thou shalt not have any other God before me. So in saying this, God himself is telling us that there is a God and we are accountable to him. Well, they don't believe that there is a God. Well, may I say to you, that doesn't change the fact. The Bible said, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. He's commanding belief in God. He's saying, look, if you're going to believe in anything, it has to be me. It has to be me. It has to be. Why is that? Because our God's a jealous God, amen. He commands our praise. There is one belief out there called Gnosticism. Anybody know about that? And this is the belief that you cannot know for certain that there is a God. However, the Bible says that we can know there is a God, that God has left us with a witness through the creation that is around us. Let me give you some scripture. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 19, verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. You can't step outside. You look here, you can't step outside during the daytime and not wonder where the sun came from. You can't step outside during the daytime with the wind blowing and wondering how in the world this operates. You can't go to bed at nighttime without looking up at the stars and saying, hey, I tell you, there's something out there bigger than me. The heavens declare his handiwork. Can I tell you, I've never seen no God on a shelf develop and design a universe the way ours. Look here, man, I tell you, every time I'd get over there and I'd get in science class and they'd take the sun, and back then they had it on chains. Y'all remember that? They had a crank on it. Had this big old object that looked like the sun, and they had these chains on this big old long thing, and They spin it and they had timed it. That's how they timed it by chains. And they'd have the earth going around the sun there, and sun in a fixed position, and the moon doing its thing around the earth, and the heavens declare his glory. I'm telling you this morning that God, the Creator God, I don't understand. If you ever sit down and think about what they've told you about the sun, it ought to blow up.
Right.
I mean, with all of the different things, actually, it's amazing that Earth contains itself. Yeah. Grandpa, you said it this way. If you used to take one trace element out of oxygen, the whole world would be a ball of fire. The heavens declare his glory. Can I tell you one thing? That these scientists that are atheists and these scientists that are agnostics saying we can't believe in God, can I tell you, they're going to have to stand before God one of these days and give an account, because they have diminished everything that God's done and lied about it.
Yep, every knee shall bow, brother.
Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, young people, look here. Y'all get over there in that university, and if they ever get smarter than the Bible, they're ignorant.
Right.
It amazes me that people will follow books that was written by man, but won't follow a book that was written by God.
That's right.
Crazy, crazy. Now should I have any other gods, little d gods, before me? Then we see this last section. Let me go on. This last section, God's declaration of presentation. Notice this right here. Thou shalt not have any other gods, what? Before me. God's declaring that as you come before God, that he doesn't want you worshiping something else and him at the same time. I believe this is the modern day Christian right here. I believe this is the trouble of our churches, the trouble of our teenagers, the trouble of our young people, the trouble of our adults and our senior saints. We're trying to come before God with two different sets of standards. We see in these words that they seem to bring about to our minds a great concern that God don't like us worshiping other gods and then bringing them before him. First, it must be your great concern that God is not last on the list when it comes to your worship. He should be your number one priority. Listen, nothing must take the place of the position and the presentation as you stand before God. Oh, his position, the presentation that we give him ought to be absolutely wonderful. And it ought to be, what we're saying here is this, every time we come before God, it ought to be about him and not about us. Well, let me give you some examples this morning of people who are trying to exchange the place of God with things. Have you ever heard anybody say it this way? Well, God understands. I'm not sure. Well, God understands. Why would God have put it in his word if he didn't want you to follow it? I think that's just compromise. I think that's just us trying to get out of. Well, that's written in the Old Testament. We shouldn't really use it today. God understands. What are you saying? Be careful and be concerned about how you present before God Almighty, because, friend, you are accountable to God. They even said this. Well, God understands our day. He didn't understand Sodom and Gomorrah's day, and God rained fire and brimstone on that place and killed them all dead. God understands. What are you saying, man? You're trying to bring your God and the God of heaven together, and it ain't working. There should be some great concern. Let me give you some examples here. Number one, money. Oh, get it on there, preacher. Can you not just preach without talking about money? I'm just trying to help you. Put your pocketbook where it's supposed to go, amen, and keep it all in line, because if you don't, it's going to become an idol. Yeah. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We've got too many people that's worried about the pocketbook and not worried about serving God. There's got to be a time where we make a decision and say, I'm not going to do it because it will dishonor my God. We don't have any great concerns anymore. We're just giving in to the world, and the world's going, okay, come on and join us. If you take something, listen to me this morning. Look, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be, but if you take anything and you place that time where you spent with God
and you replace it with something else, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to be in a mess. Let me give you this second one. What about just example pleasure? 2 Timothy 3:4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why we battle with the lake and the men, whatever. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We have people who actually love to have pleasure more than they love God. Look here. What I'm trying to say is this. God doesn't understand when you replace him with something else. God's commandment is set, and that's it. That's final. It's over. It's done. Look here. God said it. Just live by it, amen? We want God to do great things. And oh, God's blessing me. I don't know, man. I don't know with some of y'all's lifestyles. I'm not so sure God's blessing. It might be the devil trying to keep you from the house of God. You better be careful, friend. Hey, Satan, don't you think God, Satan will, man, flourish you to keep you away? Amen. Don't you run to God in your hardship if you don't run to God during your advancement. Appetite. Philippians 3:19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now listen to me, that's not just chicken. He said earthly things. Amen. And it's not wrong for you to enjoy those things. It's when those things get in your belly to where you've got an appetite to do it more than you do the things of God. And so you got to divide it. You got to put God where he is. God's number one. God's number one. Don't ever replace him. You say, preacher, what's this got to do with me? This tells how far you're going to go spiritually if this actually bothers you. Let me go on. Let me give you this fourth. Idols. Thou shalt not make, this is verses 4-6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. No other gods before me seems to not just speak of our concern, but also what we bring into his presence. God's not impressed with your doing. He's impressed with your presence. If you'll meet God right, he'll meet with you right. But if you meet God on your terms, God don't want nothing to do with you. God's got to get all the praise. He's got to get all the glory for everything in your life. Let me go on and I like what one writer said here. He said the Hebrew phrase before me literally means in front of my face. In other words, God is saying get rid of all other gods. Get rid of anything competing for my supremacy in your heart. Remove them from my presence. Get them out of my face. Get them out of my sight. It is sort of like a husband and wife. A wife who doesn't just want to be number one, out of the whole line of other ladies. No, she wants to be the only one. And so when you come before God as him being the bridegroom and you being the wife, as far as the church is concerned, are you bringing other things with you? Listen, don't forsake the fact of God's blessings upon your life in material possessions for the service that you should have for God, who is the creator of the world. God is not impressed with your things. God only loves you, and you should only love him.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.